man, I breathe the mountain air, man, I travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There the stars bang. Waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
I am here in protest with the college students from Georgia State and Georgia Tech.
Protesting what now?
Well, they're protesting against equality and change, you know. We don't like the way the government is allowing us to be able to, you know, utilize our various, degrees and, our job market into the, society without it having to be uproared by the, fear of what the government is constantly putting on us. Everywhere I go traveling throughout the train system and the rail system, you have homeland security everywhere. So, how can I very well concentrate on, getting a job and getting through school without having to, how can I stay focused without having to worry about, whether or not I'll make it home safe or, this fear factor that the government has going on with us thinking that something bad is going to happen with our serenity and our peace and our homeland security will become insecure. And it bothers me for these school-age kids to be going through what they're going through. I don't think it's fair at all.
I call collect on the phone. You say you're tired and alone, but it sounds like someone else is lying there. She said, don't call me no more. Don't you knock on my door. It's too late now and I know you'll never change. She said, you're just a Coca-Cola cowboy. You got a Eastwood smile and Robert Redford hair. But you walked across my heart like it was Texas. And you taught me how to say I just don't care. She said, just leave me alone and let me hang up this phone. 'Cause he'll see me cry and think I still love you. Please don't call me no more. I changed the locks on my door. It's time you understood that we are through. You're
just a Coca-Cola cowboy. You got an Eastwood smile and Robert Redford hair, but you walked across the heart like it was Texas, and you taught me how to say I just don't care.
You can find it right here on The Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need The Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, The Shooting Bench.
Well, there we are. All I got to do is remember to push the button. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is May 15th. We are not too far away from being halfway through this year already. That's amazing to me. Next thing you know, we're going to be saying Merry Christmas. We're not even going to have 4th of July over with yet. Won't be long. Anyway, we hope you all had a good weekend. We had a very productive, fun weekend. And got a lot of stuff done, and we, Amy and I, did some stuff together that we've been needing to do for a long time around the house here. We've been gone so much and doing other things, so we got a little bit of stuff done here around the house. A good thing too, because the next two weekends we're not going to be so fortunate. So anyway, all right. The survival tab thing today is the last day. If I don't have money in hand by the time I get up in the morning, it's going to be too late. So if anybody wants survival tabs, we're getting them at $25 a bottle, shipped to your door if you get at least 5 bottles. So they are still on the website at southwestshootingauthority.com. And if you want to jump on there and get some, well, better do it tonight. And they'll be shipped out sometime late next week, I imagine. A lot of, as usual, a lot of things going on. The I'm going to kind of do a blitz through here. We got so many stories we need to do. And by the way, Amy's not going to make it tonight. She's had been very, very busy today, and it's don't know how much more she's going to be doing this. So we'll let you know as time goes on here. So let me, before we get too carried away here, let's check and see what's going on in the chat room. I looked a while ago, and the mini, that feature I was talking about, the automatic dimming of the phone. If you've got an old flip phone, that may not be available. It probably is not available on yours. It is available on, as far as I know, any smartphone or any Samsung or Android smartphone anyway. And it's in your, just go to settings and then go to display, and you have the way to turn the brightness up and down, or you can a little feel you can click over on the right hand side, says automatic brightness. I don't like it because it's during the day, this doesn't seem to be bright enough, and I don't, it only takes, you know, less than a second and a half to turn it up and down to my satisfaction there, so I don't mess with it too much. Amy runs hers, I think, on automatic dimming, but I did for a while, but I didn't like it. And as far as tracking those phones and everything, number one, I used to worry about that quite a bit. I think probably we're being a little bit paranoid about it. We're kind of patting ourselves on the back, like we think we're important enough to be tracked. But if you're worried about that, it's simply a matter of putting it in airplane mode. In an airplane mode, it cannot be tracked. The transmitters and mics are shut off. Everything's shut off on it. And some people don't trust that feature, but I trust it very much. There's no way that they're going to chance the liability of having something not work in airplane mode and have it do something on a plane that it's not supposed to do. So I think that it's really not that big of a problem. I do turn the location off on it when I'm, you know, during normal routine stuff. And I turn it on only when I need it, and it's off. Other than that, it's off 100% of the time, except when I need it for some feature or something for a short period of time. And you're right. I think Samsung, all of them, are going to the non-removable batteries. I know the most recent one that I got here and the one that Amy just got is, well, actually, and the one my, I'm not sure about the one my daughter just got. But anyway, mine and Amy's are non-removable. I think the last one, I believe, was the S4 that had removable batteries. And they had some trouble with the batteries on that one anyway, but. Let's see. Another thing, Yakima Glock says, if you want fail-safe way to make sure that you're not being tracked on a cell phone, easy way to ditch the cell phone. You know, you don't have to ditch the cell phone. All you got to do, if you're really that concerned about it, which I don't think you should be, in some instances, yes. But as far as your everyday routine, nobody cares what you're doing, I'm sure. In some instances, I can see that. Some things that you talk about, some people that you're with, certain places you go, I get that. And all you have to do, and this is true with any phone, any tablet, I've told you this before, all you have to do is wrap it in two layers of heavy-duty tinfoil, and your phone is dead. It cannot be tracked. It cannot receive. It cannot transmit. It's nothing but a ugly little paperweight. It's that simple. So if you're, you know, I carry around in my bag, I carry around a few pieces of tinfoil just for that reason. If I need to make the phone invisible, I can do that temporarily and then get it back out when I'm back someplace where I think it's okay. And not a hard thing to do. You know, it's a I don't want to sacrifice the features. I'm like Charlie Brown says, and welcome Charlie Brown, I haven't seen you for a little while. But I'm like Charlie Brown. I do everything on my phone. I am hardly ever on my laptop anymore because the phone does everything that I want to do. Marketing, invoices, just appointments, everything is available on the phone. I'm not willing to sacrifice that for something that may or may not be a valid concern. And if it becomes a valid concern, if I think that turning it, putting it on airplane mode is not good enough, or turning the location off is not good enough, then I will simply wrap it up in a couple of pieces of tinfoil, and that is good enough. I don't care where you're at or what kind of phone you got or whatever you want to do. That is good enough. And they can remotely activate cameras and microphones. Yes, they can. They've been able to do that for a long time. And it's, I don't know, probably for the last 6 or 8 years, maybe longer than that. So that's not new, but that can all be, you know, you can take care of all that. And if you're really concerned, then a couple pieces of tinfoil and you're good to go. Or one piece wrap around it twice, whatever it takes. Okay, enough of that. Let's go through some of the thing here. I've got so many things I want to share with you here. And, you know, I was just on the on Facebook, a guy today, I saw that he had put up a post to go on Lavoie Finicum's page there. And it had a United States flag draped around his shoulders like he thought he was Batman or something. And I texted him. I said, I hope that's not a real flag. I knew it was. I could tell by the grommets and everything on it that it was. I said, I hope that's not a real flag. And he said, yeah, it is. And I didn't have a gun, didn't want to be charged with anything involving weapons. And I said, well, it doesn't have anything to do with weapons. I said, it's disrespectful to the flag, and it's a blatant violation of United States code. And he said, well, I'm an American, and I have my own rights. And I said, yeah, you have every right to disrespect the flag if you want to. But you also, that's probably not a good way to earn or keep the respect of other patriots. And he said, well, I just went to a rally, and a lot of patriots there, and nobody said anything. And I said, well, that makes it all right then, I guess. And he blocked me, believe it or not. So I'll be dealing with that later on. But just so you know, so anybody, if you're interested in this kind of thing, which you should be, you want to go to Section 8 of the flag code. And it says, no disrespect should be shown to the flag of the United States of America. The flag should not be dipped to any person, place, any person or thing. Regimental colors, state flags, and organization or institutional flags are to be dipped as a mark of honor. And let's just skip some of this here and let's go down to 8D. The flag should never be used as wearing apparel, bedding, or drapery. It should never be festooned, drawn back, nor up in folds, but always allowed to fall free. Bunting of blue and white and red, always arranged with the blue above, the white in the middle, and the red below, should be used for covering a speaker's desk, draping the front of the platform, or for decoration in general. Flag should never be fastened. This is E, Section E, Subsection E. Flag should never be fastened, displayed, used, or stored in manners to permit it to easily be torn, soiled, or damaged in any way. Of course, there's a lot more of that, but that covers what was going on there. And if you wonder what is United States Code, it is USC, it's Title 4, Chapter 1. And then there's Section 1 through... Section 1 through quite a few, through 10. And it talks about modification of rules and customs by a president at the end, and all that. So, anyway, as I've said many times, I'm kind of the self-appointed flag police when it comes to stuff like this. So. We talked the other day about Cabela's closing, 180 stores or 118 stores, whatever they're closing down. Well, they are keeping around 70 some of them open. And of those few that they're leaving open, they have came out with a statement today. The CEO said they're going to have a bigger selection of guns. They're going to have create a much larger gun section in all of the remaining Cabela's, and they're going to make them cheaper. I can't help but think that they should have done that before, and maybe they wouldn't have gone out of business or have to close all them stores. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. Cabela's is a neat store. I've always liked going to Cabela's when there's one around. South Carolina has just sent the Senate has sent a bill to the governor to sign that will ensure, and I like this, and I know a lot of people are very concerned about this when they file bankruptcy. And in South Carolina, if the governor signs this, and I have every expectation that he will, this will ensure that individuals filing for bankruptcy will not have to forfeit all of their firearms. This is for you people out in the far east south there. It is H-3429, and it was passed last week by the South Carolina Senate, 35-3. The House unanimously concurred, sending it to the governor. If signed, the bill will allow those filing for bankruptcy to retain up to 3 firearms as long as the total value of those firearms does not exceed $3,000. So I don't know how it is in other states. Some states will allow you to keep one for protection of the home, and some states just consider it just like any other valuable, any other thing that's worth anything, and you turn them all in. So, there was another person there in South Carolina that argued about this, that the guns should not be exempted from bankruptcy. So there's no reason to exempt guns from bankruptcy except for the fact that they're, you know, guns. And here's where the Second Amendment folks go off the rails. But anyway. So I don't know if you guys heard today that Powers Booth died, 68 years old. They say he died of natural causes in his sleep. That's not a whole lot of people 68 years old die of natural causes in their sleep, but evidently he did. Powers Booth was a good actor. I really liked him. He was usually a bad guy. I don't remember if I ever saw him play a good part, but he did it very well. He was, what was his name the heck was the show with Wyatt Earp and Tombstone, I think it was. Anyway, I think he was Curly Bill in that one. He was the bad guy in Extreme Prejudice with Nick Nolte. I don't know what else right off the top of my head, but anyway, too bad about Powers Booth. All right, let's move on here past the flag code. I guess for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, I know you know about this. Some of the rest of you have probably seen it on the news, maybe. A man walked into a store in Oregon carrying a human head and started stabbing people. Little weird. On this story, he was not we haven't heard yet whether he is Muslim or what's going on with him. He's a weirdo for sure. Covered in blood, holding a knife and carrying a human head, walked into the grocery store and stabbed an employee yesterday. This was up in Clackamas County. And, Doc, you're right. Yes, he did play a good guy in Red Dawn. He sure did. He played the Air Force officer that died on the tank up there. Yes, he did play a good guy. Forgot about that. Yakima Glock said that too. Forgot all about that. Many times I've watched that show, you'd think I'd remember. I've probably seen it 20 times. Anyway, he's in custody, so he didn't do a he didn't commit Harry Carey or anything after he got caught. And they didn't release his name, but they've also connected him to another homicide just 10 miles from where this happened. So, many said it was his mother's head. I hadn't seen that yet. He said that this just came to light, so I may still have an older, you know, very early article here. Let's see. Other employees have taken the hospital evaluation. This story doesn't say anything about it being his mother's head. But anyway, thanks, Minnie, for that. he's just a little weird. It gets worse, I think. Now this one, this one here, the last one was just a little weird, Doc. You want a lot weird, buddy? Let me tell you this story here. If any of you have young children in the room, I would be very appreciative if you would tell them to go outside and play in the street for a few minutes or go water the grass or do something, get them out of the room for a minute. And a lot of you may want to leave the room also. You're not going to like this story. This is absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, this is as bad as it gets. Now, before I go on with this, Charlie Brown says all he can hear is music. So let me double check and make sure. Everything should be fine. I don't have anything else playing. Let me go check the servers and make sure both of them are, okay, that one's good. And one more quick check here. And that one's good. So I don't know why Charlie Brown is just hearing music. Now, Doc, well, let me just read this. This is as bad as it gets. I did read one other story, a long time ago that was worse for them. I never did put it on the air. But probably a year or two ago, I read one that was at least this bad or worse. Now, I told you about this story initially when it first happened. This is about a 10-year-old girl that was murdered in Albuquerque. True story, as bad as this sounds, it's not made up. They are preparing trial right now for three adults that was charged in the murder. The little girl's name was Victoria Martins. They've got a picture of her on her, and she is absolutely gorgeous. What a beautiful little girl. Amazingly beautiful little girl. Not just because she's a little girl. I mean, she's just genuinely exceedingly cute. And so the accused here include, there's three people. One of them is the little girl's own mother. The other one is a convicted rapist. And the other one just kind of an accessory and is just there for the party, I guess. This monster's name is Michelle Martins. She confessed to police that she watched and did nothing. While Fabian Gonzalez and Jessica Kelly, a convicted rapist, Fabian Gonzalez is a convicted rapist, sexually assaulted, strangled, and dismembered this little girl who had begged for mercy. It was the day after the girl's 10th birthday. The mother admitted that watching her daughter's rape gave her sexual gratification. I can't even And I, you know, I don't share this story for any other reason other than to drive home and I haven't used this term in a long time, but the degradation of our society and how desperately horrible that things have gotten. And if some of this stuff, if there's people out there like this and you don't carry a gun and haven't, gotten some training and are confident in it, then I don't know what else I can tell you. I can't imagine. It said that she told the police that she and Kelly had injected the little girl with meth and that the women watched as Gonzalez sexually assaulted Victoria and strangled her to death. And according to the mother's report, Jessica stabbed the girl's body repeatedly before cutting it into pieces. The murderers reportedly removed the girl's organs. The heart was found in a plastic bag in a laundry basket at the home. The mother said, "I let them do it." So after this was over, the mother and Fabian had sex, and the three later made dinner together. An autopsy found that Victoria had alcohol in her system at the time of death and had the HPV virus, a sexually transmitted disease. No meth was found in her system. Despite her mother's claim, the transcripts revealed that Gonzalez had sexually assaulted Victoria on a daily basis during the month before she died and took photos and video of the assault. The mother further confessed to letting random men rape her daughter. She reportedly told police she met one at work and another online, according to KOAT, which is a television station in Albuquerque. Michelle may have also let those men sexually assault her young son. All three defendants have pleaded not guilty to the charges against him. According to a report from the news station KOB4, Gonzalez said Jessica Kelly is responsible. The report later says the three defendants will be tried separately as prosecutors have asked the judge for more time on what they say is a complicated case. So I don't, I know it's not, technically shouldn't be for us to judge. But, you know, this one just goes way too far. I don't know what in the world type of punishment is fitting. To torture them makes us no better than them, I guess. I suppose the way to do it is just kill them and get it over with. But I don't know. The tinker. And how does that? They've already admitted to doing it. They have it on video and everything else. How do they plead not guilty? This is a case right here where I still believe that everybody, regardless of what anybody has done, period, ever, everybody deserves a fair trial. However, the trial in this case, with video and pictures to back it up, and all three of them admitting that it was done, trial's over. This trial basically is going to amount to a sentencing hearing, if I were in charge there. That is the most grisly and horrific thing that I can possibly imagine, other than that one other deal that I told you about earlier. And it's, I don't know if it's any worse, but it's equal to this. We're going to have to get on to some more pleasant things here after a break. That is, I don't even want to go any farther for right now. So give me just a second here. And, or I guess a few seconds or a couple of minutes, and I'll be back.
I know you loved him a long time ago, and even now in my arms, you still want him, I know. But darling, this time that your memories die, when you hold me tonight, don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes, let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go, and you'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight. Don't close your maybe I've been a fool, holding on all this time, lying here in your arms, knowing he's in your mind. But I keep hoping someday that you'll see the light. Let it be here tonight. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go, and you'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight, and don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes, let it some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go, and you'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight, and don't close your eyes. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight, and don't close your eyes.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
Blood and mercy. That ain't country.
Okay, we're back. Let me get back over here where I can watch my chat room while we're doing all this here. That radio doc, I guess you have a point there. If it's a fact, it's not judging, but anyway. Got all kinds of great ideas here for taking care of these people. Yeah, they're not people, they're monsters. That is the most horrible thing. I cannot imagine that poor little girl. It absolutely breaks my heart, and it kills me. Okay, well, let's move on here to other things. By the way, is the Tinker still on there? Let's see, I think he was on there a minute ago. Yeah, he's still there. If you have the deal that I need to do Skype with this software, send me a link or send it to me or do something so if you have it. If not, I think Chuck has it. We're trying to get Doc on here. This coming Wednesday. We have an interesting show lined up. We're just having a hard time getting it coordinated. There's been a couple of times that I have not been able to do it, and this last time we've kind of had it figured out and run out of internet. So anyway, if you have that, please give me a holler and we'll work it out. If not, I know Chuck does. So anyway, let's... I know that some of you have heard of Corrine Brown. Corrine Brown is a congresswoman, former congresswoman. She has been convicted of 18 out of 22 felonies and faces quite possibly a lifetime, the rest of her life, in prison. She's going to, it says... decades, if not a lifetime. So the FBI says that she exploited the needs of children and deceived her constituents to advance her own personal and political agendas. They have a whole list of things to put her away. They were everything from, conspiracy, mail fraud, wire fraud, other different tax crimes, hiding income. And they did find her not guilty on 2 counts of mail fraud and 2 counts of wire fraud. But that still leaves 18 felonies. So she's going to have a new home for quite a while there. But it's still, her sentencing is still 2 or 3 months away. So we don't know for sure what that's going to be. But it says each fraud and conspiracy conviction potentially carries a 20-year sentence, and each tax conviction 3 years. Hiding income could lead to another 5 years. So she's gonna be there for a while. They said they called her brash. They said the brash 70-year-old Democrat who spent 24 years in Congress before losing re-election last year received $141,000 in untraceable cash over several years through sources including the sham charity One Door for Education and her Friends of Corrine Brown campaign committee. But anyway. All right, let's move on. We have so many. You know, there are still good cops out there in spite of what people think, in spite of what I hear on Facebook, and some people say, you know, all cops are, well, there are still some out there that are worth saving. And there's a couple of them right in this story here from Oklahoma. I don't know how many of you saw this. But this one's a female cop. They're from Vian, whichever it is, Oklahoma. She was forced to resign. I'm just going to read this story just like it is here. She was forced to resign after she rightfully arrested a city councilman's son, prompting the police chief to tell the city that they could take his badge as well. It all started May 2nd when Officer Lindsey Green was told by another police officer about Joshua Smith, who was driving on a suspended license. The man was a repeat offender and also happened to be the son of a city councilman. something that Officer Green did not know at the time. Officer Green observed Smith's vehicle commit two moving violations, and she stopped the suspect. After being stopped, Smith lied and claimed he didn't have his license on him. Because Joshua Smith was a repeat offender, she arrested him, and on the way to jail, she asked Chief Ted Johnson about reducing the man's fine, and the chief advised against it, saying he didn't learn his lesson the first time. Officer Green booked Smith into Sequoia County Detention Center and then returned to the town hall. Then, according to 5 News, City Attorney Larry Vickers began yelling at Green for arresting Smith, stating that she didn't have probable cause for the arrest and the ticket should be dismissed. Probable cause in a suspended driving case is as black and white as a charge can get. If the person was stopped for a legal reason, which he was, and they were driving, which he was, and their driver's license is suspended, which it was, then there's evidence way beyond the level of probable cause. In other words, this isn't open to interpretation. I didn't think Vian was like that, Officer Green told 4029 TV. City attorney has no business telling you who can run and who you can and can't arrest. Green said she contacted the local judge who told her she had probable cause and that the arrest was justified. Mayor Dennis Fletcher then came. Mayor Dennis Fletcher then came to the town hall and told the court clerk to remove Smith from jail. He spent a total of 15 minutes in jail before being released and having charges dropped. Officer Green told 5 News, it was ordered for me to drop the ticket and for him to be released from jail. After this incident, I was told more than likely you're going to get fired. I didn't want to give them the satisfaction of firing me because I know that I am in the right. I didn't want a termination on my record. I don't work for a town that controls the police department. I want to be the police. I don't want someone telling me who I can and can't arrest. I'm at peace because I know I did my job. I took an oath to do my job. So, apparently Chief Ted Johnson agrees after the small town politics allowed a criminal to get away and a good officer to lose her job. Chief Johnson submitted his resignation. He said, I support her and all of my officers 100%. The city responds to all of this. City of Vian and the city attorney Larry Vickers announced that they are now investigating Chief Johnson and Officer Green for wrongdoing. No specifics were given. So, I think I may be looking up their phone number and maybe trying to give them a call here over the next day or two. But, now there's definitely some corrupt officials there, but apparently these cops seem to be doing what cops were supposed to do, what they used to do. Well, I have an amusing little story here on the lighter side. We've had such a great, cheery time here over the last little while. Here are some of the most dangerous toys ever made. They say every year tens of thousands of kids are injured by their consumer-tested toys. Hundreds of thousands of reports come in, and it takes a number of government-regulated commissions and bureaus hang on a second here. There it is. Bureaus just handle toy safety. And when you think of classic toys, when you think back of the stuff we had when we was kids, and see if they would, if you could possibly sneak those by nowadays on some of the thing. And I had a couple of these toys that are in here. Bright Angel, that was good. So let's move on here and look at these toys. Hang on a minute. I hate these stupid ads that pop up there. All right, you got it. It says, in 2012, an estimated 265,000 children were treated for toy-related injuries in emergency rooms. This does not include doesn't even include the number of adults who were injured after playing with toys not meant to accommodate their size and weight. Toys can be dangerous. Toys can be deadly. Read up and see what to avoid wrapping up for your little kid for their next birthday. All right. Now, this is an old one. This is a the U-238 Atomic Energy Lab. That's a pretty old toy. Same guy responsible for the Gilbert glass blowing kit and the Erector sets. Was also responsible for releasing radiation as a toy for kids. These Atomic Energy Labs came from three different types of live uranium ore and a Geiger counter, just in case you wanted to measure the amount of radiation you were receiving. Next one here, lawn darts. How long did lawn darts last? Says they seem so obviously dangerous. Yet lawn darts, you've seen the lawn darts, right? They look like darts you throw in the beer joint in the pub, except they're about 40 times bigger and have great big heavy points on them. And you throw them up in the air and they land and you put a target on the lawn and stuff. So the force of an original steel tipped thrown lawn dart was estimated 23,000 pounds of pressure per inch, more than enough to pierce the skull. That sounds a little high to me, but anyway. Now here's one of them that I had, and I dearly loved this toy, and that was creepy crawlers. How many of you had creepy crawlers? Now I don't remember if I ever ate any of them. They had, what was the other one they had? It was like Incredible Edibles. Remember those? Had a little oven that you make these things out of. Now creepy crawlers was things you make these little, they had little spiders and lizards and bugs and stuff and frogs and whatever, the cockroaches and worms, and you pour this liquid plastic stuff in this mold and you put it on the little oven. And we were allowed as little kids to play with these things. And I lived. I survived. I'm here today. I sit before you in all of my splendor because I didn't burn my face off with the creepy crawler oven. Anyway. Let's see. Yeah, they talk about super hazard, super hot toys of plastic, easily burned children, imminent fire hazard, plasticky staining goop, the consistency of syrup. Oh, and the fumes emitted while mixing all these charming ingredients were toxic. Okay. Wood burning kits. Yeah. Yeah, I remember those. Yakima Glock. The Gilbert glass blowing set, as mentioned earlier. When you think about glass blowing, what do you think of? Extreme heat, sharp objects, molten glass, children's toys? Not so much. Well, in the 1950s, they certainly did, and the Gilbert glass blowing kit was all of those things and more. Go ahead, little Timmy, heat the glass until it's a malleable state, 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and have fun. Number 5, the Empire Little Lady Stove. This is a little bitty, dinky little stove that actually could get up to 600 degrees. Most real ovens have a shutoff at 550 degrees, so this one can get up to 550. Aqua dots. I don't remember these. These dots were sprinkled with water and would glue together into any shape your mind could come up with. Cute, colorful, fun, except that they were toxic when ingested, and the glue actually metabolized into gamma hydroxybutyrate, the date rape drug. Kids were ingesting the date rape drug from their toys. Actually, that's not true. They not were, are. These things are still on the shelves, it says. Moon shoes. These moon shoes were rather similar to the shoes you see now with the heel, with the springs in the heels. Pretty expensive tennis shoe looking things with the springs in them. These had springs, toes and heels, and it was kind of a little mini trampoline type thing that you, wear on your feet. They said many a broken ankle are caused by these beasts to this day. The 70 versions of these upped the ante further by making them out of many small pieces of sharp metal. It's like a bear trap and a trampoline had a terrifying recreational baby. And everyone remembers the Easy Bake Oven. Easy Bake Ovens are dangerous, but one was especially violent. This purple and pink oven was modeled after a kitchen stove, and the way it was set up caused children's fingers to get caught, trapped, and then burned on the heating coils. If it didn't, let's see, it didn't just burn you, it trapped you and made you suffer through it. Slip and slide. Now, those were fun. Slip and slide, 1993, the Consumer Product Safety Commission issued a warning about slip and slide used by teenagers and adults. The slides just aren't long enough to account for an adult's weight and size. The abrupt stop at the end in some cases could result in permanent spinal damage. At the time of the warning, one teenager and seven adults had already become paralyzed and received neck injuries after playing on the slides. Number 10, Super Blast Balls. There's a joke in there somewhere. They were little balls and when crashed together would spark and loud. Oh, I remember these. It would spark loudly pop, so they're basically caps that you set off in your hands instead of a cap gun. In fact, that's exactly what they were. The Bird of Paradise Slingshot. Now, this just looks like a typical, regular, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill slingshot. The Consumer Product Safety Commission was made for toys just like this one. Before the CPSC, toys were only considered dangerous if they were made out of dangerous substances. These slingshots just launched razor-sharp projectiles across the room. Nothing dangerous about that. Snack Time Cabbage Patch Kids, number 12. These dolls had mechanical jaws so as to eat whatever they were given. But those jaws didn't know the difference between food and, say, a finger or long hair. And they never, ever stopped chewing. That could be a problem. Number 13 is the CSI Investigation Forensics Lab Kit. Sometimes the crime scene you have to investigate is the crime scene investigation kit. These kits were found to have asbestos, 70% tremolite, in their fingerprinting kits, an irrefutable known cause of cancer. You know, there was a lot of things that apparently they claim caused cancer, you know. And we've talked about this before a time or two. We had, and I know some of you have done this also. How many of you have bit the heads off of lead soldiers, you know, the little lead soldier figurines? Bit the legs off or just because it was a soft metal. You bit it in two because you could. And I carried, there was years that when I had my Benjamin 22 caliber pellet gun, when I went hunting, my speed loader was the number of pellets that I had stuck in between the cheek and gum there. I'd take, you know, 5-10 pellets and put them in my mouth and hold them down there like a chew of Copenhagen. And when I needed to reload, I just popped that thing open, grabbed one out of my lip, and stick it in there. And I did that for a long, long time. And, we didn't have any idea. We didn't know lead was supposed to be poisonous, so it didn't hurt us any, I guess. Now we know it's supposed to kill us, and it does. So, I don't know. But so many things, and I still have to this day, I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it just because we're on the subject. I still have right now. And I know where they're at. I can get them and show them to you. If you just crowd around in front of your camera there, I'll show you. I have a lead drinking glass. Many, many, many glasses, drinking glasses, were lead when I was a kid. Toothpaste tubes were lead. We had the, you know, houses were painted with lead paint. Baby cribs were painted with lead paint. Most of our toys were painted with lead-based paint. And we never, hardly ever heard of anybody dying or being sick from that stuff until relatively recently. Number 14 is the Aqua Leisure Inflatable Baby Boat. These boats seem like a great way for a parent to relax in the pool with their new baby. Unfortunately, the leg straps were prone to tear, allowing the poor defenseless baby to slip through. They recalled them after nearly 30 infants nearly drowned. Nearly drowned. I mean, 30 infants fell in the water and scared their parents to death, but nothing happened. It turned out Aqua Leisure had been aware of the problem for 6 years before the recall, and they fined the company $650,000. Number 15, Sky Ranger's Park Flyer radio-controlled airplane. These things blew up. No, seriously, they would blow up all the time. And since they were launched by hand, a lot of the time they'd blow up in the kid's hand or right next to their head. So that technical definition of that is bad. 16, the Zulu blowgun. This list could have been just small choking hazard items. Every toy that features a small plastic item a kid can and will put in his mouth. Now when the toy's entire purpose and goal is to stick a tube containing a small chokeable item in a kid's mouth, that's when it gets obviously dangerous. 17, the Bat Masterson. I think I had one of these. Bat Masterson Derringer belt gun. Looks familiar. I had something similar to this. This was a little cap gun hidden in your belt buckle. Let's think about this for a minute. Not only is it a cap gun, but it is one pressed up against your body and pointed at a very sensitive area. How did this get made? You know what? That's stretching things a little far. I'm not sure that a cap pistol in your belt buckle is maybe a little scary. If it happened to go off, does it startle you a little bit? Is it dangerous? No. No, the most dangerous thing about caps was the possibility of maybe starting a fire if you were in some place where there was, flammable vapor in the air or something like that. Because I used to take these caps, hundreds of them, and scrape them off with my fingernail, and they'd pop with my thumbnail, and it stung a little bit and turned my fingernail black. And I usually didn't want to do another one for a little bit, but I did lots of them that way. And I didn't lose a thumb. I didn't get any serious burns. Maybe a tiny little blister here and there. So what? That's what makes kids kids. That's what you grow up to be, have a little bit of a tolerance for things that are uncomfortable and painful. And I mean, maybe that doesn't sound right. Maybe I'm the one that's goofy, but I think that because a lot of us grew up with real pocket knives, I know people that won't give their kids a pocket knife till they're 12, 14 years old now. Maybe more than that. Hell, I had one when I was old enough to have my own pockets. As soon as I got out of diapers, I had a pocket knife. And I've had one in my pocket every day of my life except when I was in basic training. Yeah, Doc, that's right. Take a whole roll of caps, smack them with a hammer. That's a pretty good size pop there. Battlestar Galactica Colonial Viper. What the hell is that? You know that choking hazard thing we were talking about? The one suggesting the age they think is appropriate and listing why? That's because of this spaceship. Back in 1978, a boy shot himself in the throat with a detachable missile on this toy and tragically passed away. Toy companies have been printing that warning ever since. Sky Dancers. Never heard of them. Sky Dancers are a great concept, cute little fairies that launch into the sky dancing and flying playfully. In actuality, they were projectiles that spun haphazardly around until gaining enough momentum to launch randomly skyward, then kamikaze down at dangerous speeds. I find that a little tough to swallow. Yeah, Bright Angel, we played Mumble de Pay. We also played a game called Stretch and a game called Chicken. With Stretch, you take, for those of you not on the chat room, one Bright Angel says they played Mumble de Pay, stabbed your feet occasionally. Yeah, it happened. So what? You played Stretch. And it was kind of like Mumbly Peg, except you try to stick the knife out there beside your opponent's feet and make them stretch out and keep stretching in increments until they couldn't stretch anymore, until they fell. And you couldn't just automatically throw it out there 20 feet and make it stick. You had to do it in increments, usually, a foot or so or 6 inches or whatever the case may be. So that there was, a little bit of fun to it instead of just making them fall down the first time. Sounds like I may need to go check on coyote problems here. Let me hit this real quick. Polly Pocket, number 20. The 2006 editions of the dolls had magnetized clothes and accessories so little girls could change their outfits and make them up all differently. Seems safe enough. Except that the magnets were small enough to eat and to wear as their own fake magnetized earring or nose ring, then accidentally ingest. When two or more magnets get into your system, they try to meet just like they would anywhere else, tearing through whatever tissue or organ got in the way. So, let's see here. I think that is the end. Okay, got another list here. We're not going to do it today, though. We're going to do that one some other time. So right now I need to see if there's a coyote issue outside because we have dogs going crazy. So give me a few minutes here and...
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men, We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Alright, we're back. There's a, I don't know how many of you have been keeping up with all the trials and the stuff going on over the Bundy affair. There's a guy here who just recently was convicted to 5 years and 3 months in federal prison. He was one of those that, I don't know if he was actually up there, but, it was, actually this was when, I think when the refuge was going on, when the Bundys and everybody was in Lavoie and everybody was over there. He's from Medford, Oregon. And he has pleaded guilty to making online threats to kill Barack Obama and shoot FBI agents. Was sentenced Friday to 5 years and 3 months in federal prison. That would have been Friday a week ago. No, it wasn't. It was Friday 3 days ago. And this guy and a lot of other people, we saw a lot of this during this time, and that was people that could not control their emotions, couldn't control their anger and frustration, and got on Facebook and other places and talked about things that they should not have talked about in public. And it said these social media posts that are contain that type of violence directed towards those certain types of people. I mean, you can threaten anybody online, and it's usually probably against the law, but when you start talking about presidents and FBI agents, federal agents and stuff, then you could get in a little bit of problem. Well, this guy's going to spend 5 years. John Martin Roos is going to spend 5 years and 3 months in federal prison, because of that. So says this started in February of 2016, the month following Lavoie being killed. He got killed in January of last year. When a concerned individual forwarded screenshots of his Twitter and Facebook posts, which contained racially offensive language and threats to kill Obama and shoot FBI agents. So, which movie are you talking about, Mountain Shooter? The one that they come out with about the refuge, about Lavoie? No, I have not sat down and watched that yet. I might see how long it is. I might see if Amy wants to do that tonight. Maybe to get it done tomorrow night when we don't have shows and stuff. Roos was arrested 2 months later while parking his truck outside a VA rehabilitation center where he was a patient. The FBI seized a loaded .45 caliber pistol from the driver's side floor mat. During a search of his apartment, they found a rifle, a shotgun, hundreds of rounds of ammunition in his bedroom, as well as four pipe bombs in the living room next to his computer station. So he probably should have used a little better judgment in what he was doing there. In his Facebook post, he threatened to snipe FBI agents with hunting rifles. Some of his online posts also made references to the January 26th fatal state police shooting of Robert Lavoie Finicum, who had evaded a police stop. No, he didn't. As he was driving from the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge to a community meeting in John Day, Oregon. Anyway, a few more, several things. 14 count indictment against this guy, including 8 counts of threatening to kill the president, 2 counts of threats against federal law enforcement officers, and 4 counts of possession of unregistered destructive device. Oh, dear. Let's see, what is this? Is this something I need to share with you? There was a... Oh, no. Let me get rid of this. This is... I don't know if you guys have seen these, but in order to use them, your phone needs to be rooted. But you can get... they make flash drives now for phones. They have a... one end of it has the little micro USB and that you plug into your phone. The other side is a regular USB that you plug into your computer. So you can download things from your computer and put it on your phone, or download it and put it on the flash drive and store it and review it and bring it up on your phone and not take up the extra room. You can put music on it, plug it into your phone or books or whatever, and listen to them on your phone. Yeah, pretty neat deal, and they're not very expensive at all. Don't buy the ones that do not buy the one you see advertised on Facebook. They're like $30. You can get one twice as big for about 35% of the price on Amazon. Just go on there and look for, I forgot the search term I used. It was a smartphone flash drive or something like that. And it's a neat deal. You carry it around in your pocket and have, another 32 gigs or whatever size you get of extra information, and not have to slow your phone down with a whole bunch of crap on it. So that's kind of neat. Not too long ago, we talked about Will Hayden. Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, it seems like, I talked about Will Hayden, who was the founder of Red Jacket Firearms, and talked about him being convicted. Well, he has been, he's been sentenced now, and we just got this in Friday, and he's 51 years old. He got 2... sentenced him to life plus 40 years on 2 counts of aggravated rape and 1 count of forcible rape. In Louisiana, aggravated rape carries a mandatory life sentence. An East Baton Rouge Parish jury found Hayden guilty last month after a trial. anyway, that's, so we don't need to go into the details of that because we just talked about it not too long ago. But he looks like he's getting everything that he so desperately deserves there. There's, which was this one? There's so much of it. Oh, there's a deal going around out there again. This started back in 2008. And it sounds feasible enough, but it was, obviously I had to check it out. And the story is that a woman can be out in the parking lot of her, grocery store, Walmart, whatever, and the guy walks up and hands her a business card for some reason or another, and said that he's a house painter, or he's got some kind of business that she might be interested in, maybe body work for the car or something like that, and. So they hand him a business card, and then as she pulls out of the parking lot, they follow closely along and wait until she gets dizzy and has to pull over or something, and then they kidnap her and, steal her stuff, rape her, or whatever the case is. So this is a hoax. It is not true. They make it very convincing. They say there's a drug known as Burundanga, also known as scopolamine, to incapacitate victims before attacking them. But it is confirmed that it's a rumor, and it began 9 years ago. So don't be concerned. There was another one that just came out that is not rumor and that is legitimate, and I just saw it, I think yesterday. Let me see if I can find that here. I might have deleted that. I hope I didn't. Let's see here. See if I can bring that back. I guess not. Anyway, there's a deal out there called WannaCry, and it is very real, and it is quite dangerous. And one of the things that it does is it can attach links to an email. Let's say your brother, your friend, your wife, your boss, whatever, send you an email, and their machine is infected. They may send you this email with a link on it, and they don't know the link is there because the virus will attach the link as it's being sent. So if you get something from a known source, from any source, and that link looks suspicious, is out of place for some reason, you know, not any reason for it to be there, doesn't have anything to do with the subject matter of the email or whatever, do not click on the link. Call the person that sent it to you and ask them if they did in fact attach that to the email. If they didn't, then just delete it. And certainly don't share anything like that. People need to be smart. There was a lady just today. Let me see. This is a guy that listens to the show quite often, but he is never, ever on the chat room, I don't think. But I can find this. Let me tell you what happened to her. Here it is. Now, what she's relatively pretty popular on Facebook. She's a black lady, and she's got quite a following. And she said she got a thing from Facebook that they'd shut her account down because they needed to prove who she was. She said, "Okay, well, I've been doing this, you know, ever since Facebook was born, and haven't changed anything. Everything's been the same, but okay." I took a picture of my driver's license, my ID, and sent it to them. And they said, "Well, you need to download this program called." I'd have to watch the video again to see the name of it. They wanted to download this program to verify her identity, and she said, "Well, I shouldn't have to." Okay, all right, let me do this so I can get my account back. Well, she did it. And after that, I guess they absolutely cleaned her out, wiped out her bank account, and she is she's destitute right now. They took everything. So, you know, people, these criminals prey on gullible people. They prey on people that are like this woman, just too trusting. I don't think she's stupid. I just think she's too trusting of people. And there, I think there's a very, very fine line there that we need to be careful and not step over. We cannot become the same monsters that we're fighting by trusting no one ever for any reason. But we also have to be extra cautious in what we do, who we associate with, what information we give out, and anything like that. And it doesn't have necessarily anything to do with Facebook. This particular one happened to be on Facebook. They do it on the telephone all the time. They do it through emails. They do it through text. They do it through any type of medium that you can possibly imagine where they can get a hold of you or get all of your information. They can do it live. I know a woman in, where was she? I think it was in Farmington. But anyway, they came and played out this big spiel, and yeah, here you go, and just write us a check for this, and we'll have all this stuff ready for you, and you'll be seeing it in the mail here before long. I've heard of several stories like this where people have literally lost their entire life savings or significant sums of money by just deals that sounded too good to be true. You know why? Because they were not true. And quite a few of those that I've heard of. So, anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. I just wanted to share that with you while I was thinking about it there. So let me get back over to my regularly scheduled programming here. Back it up a little bit. Another one. Oh, here's a big story. Let me make this one real short and sweet here, and let me get on to this other one. Many of you have heard the story about the California woman severely injured her husband by hitting him and run over him at high speed with her SUV after he confessed that he voted for Donald Trump. You know, that sound nowadays it really sounds like it could be true, and it could be, but it's not. That didn't happen. All right, let's get off of that one and we'll move on. This is big. This is huge. This is the biggest thing that we've done tonight. The Mormon Church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is the oldest and largest charter organization of the Boy Scouts, are going to drop scouting from its young men's program ages 14 through 17. Now, the other ages, 11 through 13, they expect they're going to be dropping them pretty quick, too. But right now, today, 1 in 6 American Scouts are Mormons. Effective January 1st, the move will carve as many as 180,000 Mormon boys from the varsity and venturing scouting programs in the United States and Canada. And what's going to happen? We've talked about this months ago, a couple of years ago, about the church needs to create their own scouting program, and then we could be independent of all this outside stuff with the queer scout leaders and everything. So, effective here in 6 months, 180,000 of the Boy Scouts of America is going to be dropped in, going to be reduced by 180,000 boys. That's going to make the Boy Scouts of America pretty, not a small organization, but it's going to be dramatically reduced. Says the church will continue to sponsor Cub Scouts for boys 8 to 10 and Boy Scout programs 11 through 13 in those two countries, but statements released by the church about the announcements signal that it may drop those programs in the future also. The overhaul is stunning because scouting has been an indelible, seemingly inseparable part of the LDS Church's young men program for 104 years. But it isn't a major surprise. Church leaders quietly have considered dropping scouting from its young men and primary programs for many years for multiple reasons. Now, they're not going to be, they're getting him out of the, I agree, Doc, they're getting him out of the Boy Scouts of America. However, they're not dropping the scouting program. You can be a scout without belonging to the Boy Scouts of America. What I predict will happen is what I've said a long time ago, what I'd like to see happen is the church will simply take the format, and there are many church, way high up church members on these boards and what do you call them, the councils and stuff for Boy Scouts. Some of the highest members in the church make up the whole board of whatever in the hell they call it. So they can just simply take that program and copy a lot of it, modify it as needed, and the boys will be right back, get doing their own thing, getting their own awards. I'm sure there'll be something equivalent to the Eagle Scout program and all that. You can't deny You can't poo-poo an organization with nearly 200,000 members. So I predict that in the very near future that there'll be something just like the Eagles, the Eagle Scout, that will be accepted just like Eagle Scouts, you know, all over the world. And there may be, you know, a few little pockets here and there that bow up to it. But I think for the most part that this will be a fairly seamless transition for the boys, and they'll move right into the new program here. So I think since the LDS Church has been a major part of the BSA since it became the first chartered BSA organization in 1913, the church partnership with BSA was a blessing to the relatively new scouting organization. Let's see. In addition, the willingness of the BSA to accept the church as a chartered partner during a time when there was not a favorable view of the Mormons was an act of goodwill. Collectively, we have the capacity to solve the toughest problems and find solutions to benefit everyone. So the current president of the LDS Church, President Monson, Thomas S. Monson, holds scouting's highest honor, the Silver Buffalo Award, has been a member of the BSA National Executive Board for 47 years. The BSA has honored his vast contributions to scouting twice in the past year by naming buildings for him. In October, the Thomas S. Monson Lodge opened at the Hinckley Scout Ranch in Utah, and construction is underway on the BSA's Thomas S. Monson Leadership Excellent Complex at the Summit Bechtel Reserve in West Virginia. Name several other higher-ups there that are in the same type of position in the scout program, scouting program. Lots of stories to go along with. Some of the parents are glad. Some of them are a little disappointed and whatnot. But we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a very interesting transition. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be good for the boys. Might be a little rocky road here for a little while because of the hate groups and whatnot. But it says today, listen to this. There's 180,000 boys that are getting out. That's just the ones from 14 to 17. But it says today about 470,000 LDS boys and young men participate in scouting programs in the United States and Canada. As of August 2015, that represented nearly 17% of the Boy Scouts of America. More than 280,000 LDS boys and young men are between the ages of 8 and 13 will remain associated with Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts for the time being. So I thought that was a huge, huge decision. That is a big, big deal. Okay. Hanford, matter of fact, if Longslide was with us, he could probably share a little of information on this. He's been working out at there, did. I don't know if he still does. Worked out at Hanford. What do they call it? Hanford Nuclear Storage Facility or whatever it is. Said, due to the emergency at the Hanford site today, they had a tunnel collapse out there. And don't know what damage is done. I haven't checked on the updates for it. But it says non-essential personnel who work north of the barricade are being advised not to report for graveyard shift. Only essential employees needed to maintain minimum safe operations are to report for work. An emergency was declared at the site at approximately 8:30 a.m. this morning. That was on Tuesday, last Tuesday. Employees at the site were advised to take cover for a few hours as a precaution, with non-essential employees released by approximately 1:30 this afternoon after no contamination was detected. So a couple more updates on there, but anyway. Yeah, that's a nuclear waste storage facility. All right, where are we at? Now, I think what we'll do, we had quite a long spell there of talking, so I think what we'll do is we'll take another break here. And why is this thing wanting to be ugly?
I'll be back.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, let's finish this up here. Let me go check and see what's going on in the chat room. I've been in there visiting with my lovely bride for a few minutes, so let me see what's going on. Let me see what... all right, it's talking about Hanford there and Doc's Beans, some relation there. All right, we have looking to see... I see Northwest Heavy in there, in the chat room. Good to have you guys in here. All right. I think we're about to get down to the... There's some other bad ones in here, but I'm not gonna share those. I think we've had enough bad for tonight. But. So, let's see. Here we go. Did I tell you about this one? I may have. Yeah, I know I did. This was the guy that killed the grizzly bear with the 9mm. And that was, that would have been a week ago Wednesday, I think. That was a pretty neat story. Okay. I may have gotten that. Well, let's... Here we go. Now, these are people that have taken this very seriously. I like the heck out of this story. This is in a community near San Antonio, Texas. And there's some homeowners there that have created what I would call a militia. Well, they are also what I have advised some people who start militias to call their groups, and that is a neighborhood watch program, neighborhood watch group. And that's what they're doing. These guys are exceedingly well organized. They have, they stay in radio contact. They're out there all the time, body armor, rifles. There's a guy that started this thing here who's a former Army infantryman who lives in the cobblestone neighborhood of this Calibra Road. Started the CDU, the Crime Deterrence Unit, in September of last year. And they said a number of car break-ins and a shooting near his home led to the group's formation. He asked that he only go by his first name, Brian. He said, you got to be nuts to come to Cobblestone and think you're going to steal stuff, honestly. Because now they work in shifts. They are constantly in contact with each other through radios. And it said, everyone that serves in the group is a member of one of these neighborhoods here. Another volunteer gave his first name of Andy. He said, so we live here. It's not like we just decided this is a high crime area. We need to go serve here. This is our home. They suit up in body armor, carry rifles, communicate through radios. Their vehicles are marked with CDU signage. Brian said the volunteers don't usually wear masks. On a recent Sunday morning, about 10 men in 3 vehicles patrolled a handful of neighborhoods. See, this is something that 10 guys in 3 vehicles. And some of these outfits have a hard time putting 3 people together to form a militia. But there's 10 of them here just in this one neighborhood, or a handful of neighborhoods. It says 4 guys walked on or near the sidewalk, someone in a car followed behind, and a man in a pickup truck drove ahead of them as a scout unit. The other vehicle stopped by certain homes that have filled out paperwork with the group, allowing volunteers to act as the homeowner. Former military police officer who declined to provide his name said some people are surprised and shocked. We still get that reaction. Who are these guys and what are they doing here? Members of the Crime Deterrence Unit say they're protecting their properties and their neighbors from becoming victims. We do train people on felony arrest techniques and tactical handcuffing. A citizen's arrest is legal when an individual witnesses a felony in progress. If we do see a felony in progress, we are going to react to that and we're going to effect an arrest. Brian said volunteers will shoot if their lives are threatened. Bexar County Sheriff said these whose deputies are responsible for protecting the area where the CDU operates, said, of course, we would prefer that they would call us if time allows and that they would be good witnesses rather than taking the law into their own hands. Now, I like the fact that they don't seem aggressive about that. I didn't like the last few words there, instead of taking law into their own hands. Obviously, the best thing to do would be for them to call if time allows being the key phrase there. And that they would be good witnesses. And that should end right there instead of saying rather than take the law into their own hands. I don't really feel like they're taking the law into their own hands. So what they're doing is assisting law enforcement where there is none, where there's not enough. And the guy says, the infantry guy says, of course they're concerned. They're all going to be concerned a little bit because this isn't something you see every day. I don't even think this is something that's going on anywhere else in the country right now. Brian said some types of crimes, particularly theft, have decreased in the areas where they serve. Statistics of the county sheriff's office show the two service areas that include CDU units have actually seen an increase in crime. What is that? Show the two service areas that include the CDU's neighborhoods have actually seen an increase in crime from January to April of 2015. The Sheriff's Department tallied 445 violent crimes, property, and drug-related crimes during the same 4 months in 2017. A total of 616 crimes occurred. Okay, now let's think about that a minute. The crimes, according to the Sheriff's Department, have increased a little bit, quite a bit, from January to April in 2015. 2 years later, there's more crimes. So the way I look at that is two years later, crimes would have increased anyway, because crimes are increasing like this all over the country. So is it the fact that these guys are there and that's why they increased? Or is it the fact that they've increased anyway and the fact that they were there kept them from increasing anymore? So this one statistic actually means nothing. The way they worded it makes it sound like the guys are not having any effect. But they don't. There's no way to prove that without having a control of some kind. The statistics, however, represent a much larger area of the northwest part of the county than the neighborhoods being patrolled by the crime deterrence unit. Said, Lord help you if we run into you. Hopefully, if you're lucky, the cops will run into you before we will. To date, the CDU has had no violent confrontations. So, see, it's a good thing. It's worked out well. Now, this is impressive right here. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 neighborhoods. They've got enough people to cover 11 neighborhoods. So I think that is extremely commendable. I very much approve of what they're doing here. A couple of gun-related things here. I'll probably save these till Wednesday. I've got to try to figure out how to get Doc on here reliably. We have a really neat idea for a show here. Wednesday night, we've been trying to do for the last 3 or 4 Wednesdays here. There's a really good, I've often wondered about this deal, and I know that there's going to be some people in chat room that don't agree with me. But, ordinarily, overall, I don't have any problem with people smoking dope, marijuana type dope. I think it, in moderation, and done during the proper times, I think it's pretty harmless. However, I do not think it's harmless enough that you should be smoking it while you're driving or operating heavy equipment or doing other things. It's still, they've got a, I don't know if this is factual or not. It may be a scare tactic, but it does say that the number of drivers that are stoned or having accidents are up significantly since some of the places have legalized marijuana. Here's a guy, 23 years old, killed while riding his motorcycle in Seattle. He played the piano, guitar, drums, wrote music, developed websites. Elizabeth Kimball, killed in a car while walking across the street, killed by a car while walking across the street in Portland, Oregon. She previously survived 3 kidney transplants and dedicated her life to helping dialysis patients and hungry seniors. And there's quite a few others here that were killed by people that were stoned and driving. What has Doc got me doing now? The Don Willie Nelson gun would have done. So that's it's anybody's guess how factual this is, but I've seen through the experience that I've had, the people that I've been around. I used to have a family member that was a couple of them actually that were quite involved with that back in the 60s and 70s. And I can tell you for damn sure that I've seen them in a position that they had no business driving a car or riding a bicycle, you know, or pushing a wheelbarrow as far as that goes. It is not, yes, I think it is infinitely safer than alcohol. That doesn't mean that I think it's safe enough to be, to smoke and partake of indiscriminately at times when you should have all your faculties about you, like when you're driving or operating heavy equipment or whatever the case may be. So, there you have it. I want to remind everyone one last time about the survival tabs. Order is going in sometime tomorrow. So I will need to have money in hand or in my PayPal account, or call me with a credit card by sometime late tomorrow morning, and I will make the order tomorrow, and they'll be shipped out sometime in the next few days. For those of you that are not familiar with survival tabs, of course, everybody on the show probably should be. Survival tabs are probably the single most awesome way to have a full food storage with very little money put out. You cannot grow your own food cheaper than you can buy survival tabs. You cannot feed chickens and grow a garden any cheaper than you can buy survival tabs. You can get a full year's supply of survival tabs. That's not including any other food. That's just survival tabs. You can put a year's supply in a medium-sized suitcase. So there are no downsides to survival tabs. And they're $36 or $39 or something like that on the website from the manufacturer. I can get them for you right now for $25 a bottle, and that is delivered to your home. So if anybody's interested, you need to get on it, because tomorrow will be the last day. It'll be several months probably before we offer this again. And I don't know that I'll be able to offer this price again next time. So if you want to do it, you better do it in a hurry. So. All right. Well, I'm going to sneak out of here a couple minutes early. I think we've been pretty busy today for this show. And I will work tirelessly. No, actually I won't. I'll slip in as much as I can and try to get this worked out where Doc can be on the show with us this coming Wednesday. We'll have some gun related stuff to talk about. This coming Friday, I have every intention of doing Liberty Lounge, but at this point I cannot promise it. I'm pretty sure we can do it, but I'm not sure. If we are able to, I think it will be possibly a rock show, but I don't know yet. It depends on what the circumstances are of being able to get the Wi-Fi that I need this weekend. So if it works, great. If it don't, well, I hate it, but I'll do the best I can. So with all of that being said, I will see you all one way or another, with or without Doc. I will see you Wednesday night. Thanks for joining me, and we'll talk to you then.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
Reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.